Sabrina Monarch, and this is a show about spiritual lifestyle and personal evolution. I'm an evolutionary astrologer, a clairvoyant, and a thought leader, and I started this podcast to have eclectic and impactful conversations about astrology as well as all things spiritual and personal development. Ooh, I'm excited to talk about this one. The Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus, that conjunction, this amazing transit that is going to be exact on April 20th, 2024. It is very much building. It is active. I recently shared an article about it just to my mailing list, which I'm linking to in the notes, not just the mailing list, but the actual thing I sent about this transit. But in this episode, I wanted to talk about how I've been feeling the transit. It's very personal to me. It's on top of my moon in Taurus, which I have in the later degrees of Taurus. Moon in Taurus in the third house, and the moon is the ruler of my fifth house, the fifth house relating to creativity, sexuality, fun, enjoyment, and pleasure. So that the Lord of my fifth house is getting this Jupiter-Uranus activation, I've literally been having quantum leaps in fifth house themes. And that's what I'm going to share with you. And I've been hearing from people lately that my personal stories that I share on the podcast demonstrate my practice, my relationship to astrology, and my evolution over the years, because I literally teach evolutionary astrology and I'm constantly tapping into the medicine of metamorphosis and transformation, and I do live that. And when I tell you these stories, I get to share kind of what that looks like behind the scenes. And so even though it drives me to share personal things about myself in public, relatively speaking, I mean, that's what we're doing here. That's what I'm called to do. It even is kind of written all over my chart in certain ways. But yeah, I'm in the midst of a really exciting time in my life. And sometimes these exciting times have been so, they sweep me away so much that I don't even get to really talk about it in the moment. And this one actually has a lot of themes of slowing down and having some time for integration. So this is one way that I'm doing that. I am going to share a video about the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction more generally. And this is from that article that I'm linking in the notes. But for this talk, just to set us up, I'll highlight that Jupiter-Uranus, when those two planets come together, relates to quantum leaps. So, you know, are you having a quantum leap experience right now? And if not, like, where are you, where's the stress and tension that's pointing to the need for a breakthrough? Like, you might want to look there first. And Taurus, where Jupiter and Uranus are meeting right now, this is about what is basic and essential in our lives, our values, right? It's a Venus ruled sign. There's a thing about Taurus, it's about simplicity. Like, if you know at a core level what you really value, there's a way that you can still have like a lush and abundant and seemingly complex life, but you're boiling it down to some essential values. Taurus relates to our relationship with self, our self-esteem, resources, our body, our relationship to money and possessions, and our personal assets, those things that either make us feel valuable or things that we literally trade in the marketplace. And again, that exact conjunction of Jupiter and Uranus and Taurus is on April 20th, but we're definitely already feeling it. And as I look back at my own events, it was building for a while. I'm noticing that there is some real tension for this transit between homeostasis, same, like, things as usual, and actual change of the basic elements in our lives. Taurus has a lot of staying power and works to stabilize things, which is definitely a strength, but it's also what causes stagnation. So if we're trying to increase our wealth, for example, like reach a new normal in terms of our earning power, or we're trying to increase our nervous system capacity, right, to like become stronger in our own system, these things are not just about learning skills for that, like that's part of it, but it's also about how to stabilize being that new person more consistently. So we might think for this transit about like quantum upgrades in our holding capacity, holding sensation, holding money, holding love, holding our value, etc. Now I'll segue into the personal share part of it. For me, this transit has had a lot to do with my local area, so third house, where my moon is and where I'm receiving this transit, and relationship to ritual and ceremony, also third house. You'll kind of hear throughout my stories like how much my visionary life, like when I go into trance, meditation, different experiences where I'm in like a more liquid, altered state, these are things that are actually really essential to me and weave through how I make decisions and how I move through life. This transit has also really affected my body, so the moon and moon in Taurus, and my sexuality and creativity. Moon is the ruler of my fifth house, and fifth house relating to sex, pleasure, fun, play, creativity, all of that. So there was quite a sequence of events, and I'll go about it mostly linearly to the best of my ability because things really worked off the sequence. But I guess where I'll begin is that maybe actually if I back up a little bit, for those of you that did listen to Hungry Ghosts of Paradise, which was a erotic audio novella that I wrote, which was autobiographical. So I've already set some precedent here of podcasting about my peak sexual experiences. But part of what was really difficult for me, something I haven't really talked about that much. I mean, the novel was amazing to write. I had such a soul retrieval experience. But toward the end of writing it, I kind of recreated the core trauma that the book was even about with someone else. And I thought that writing the book was going to liberate me and save me from that pattern. But inside of that, I ended up thinking that I was being saved by life, you know, and like replaying the same kind of delusional patterns that, you know, the story of the book is like a really profound peak experience that had some like illusion and fantasy in it. So I ended up going through like a love addiction program and becoming sober of my love addiction, which was definitely like a plot twist in my life and something that was probably years in the making as something that was necessary to do. But of course, that had me thinking, you know, is having me get to the basics of like what's actually happening in reality versus what I think is happening or what I want or project to be happening. But I got to kind of wrestle with some of the deeper things that have challenged me in my life. And this one particular thing that I'll weave through this share is that I have really liked to bond with people that are extraordinary, you know, like in many different ways. I magnetize and attract extraordinary people. It's evidenced on this podcast in terms of the people that I bring in and whatnot. But in terms of my romantic life, I would kind of go for these men who were more embodied than I was, per se, like when I was younger, like dating a body worker, yogi, like people that were really like excelling in embodiment, people that were very incredible and highly skilled lovers, not just like a basic everyday lover, but like a out of this world, like beyond kind of lover. And the issue that that created for me psychologically and like in my life was just the degree of how much I projected my own sexuality onto these other people, which is not, you know, I'm not alone. That's something that a lot of women do in terms of having like a big sexual opening and thinking that it was the man, right? And it's like there's some disentangling to do here in terms of being able to see what our own sexuality is and to also see the gifts that the other person is really bringing to the table, because they are, right? But to not project something core and essential of oneself onto the other. And for whatever karmic reasons, the way it was set up for me was that I had these different experiences of seeing parts of myself that really matter to me in other people before I knew them in myself. And so I would end up being really disempowered and bereft by these relationships. I would feel abandoned. I would feel cast out of the kingdom of God, lost, you know, fallen from paradise. That's why I wrote the book, Hungry Ghosts of Paradise. I wanted to exercise and alchemize that all the way. So the book definitely set that in motion, but it didn't happen as quickly as I might have imagined or hoped. Still very grateful I wrote the book, still love the book, and it received a lot of acclaim from you all. So I know that it was in service in that way also. So I had this grief process where it's like I was still in the same pattern of grieving someone special that I felt I lost, kind of thing. And the pain of that was so, I was working through it and having trouble with it. So it was like a little bit on the back burner, kind of on the side, and we'll come back to it. But in this time period, I began to desire to live in Greece. I'd been there the last two summers, and I'm absolutely in love. And I was working on paperwork to expatriate for an unknown amount of time, at least a year. And the process of getting this visa was more difficult than I would have known or imagined to complete like a legal process in a foreign country. And it was taking a lot of energy to do that, but it was also an initiation. It was accompanied, though, by wanting to get the fuck out of Portland and being totally disenchanted with my local life. So here's a little like third house cue. And Uranus transits can correspond with restlessness or boredom that spring loads us to be available for big breakthrough change, right? Like when a Uranus transit is hitting, you start to get really, things get a little bit cagey. So having that cagey feeling in my third house by transit, it was like, I need to get the fuck out of here. But as the visa was approaching a final decision, and this was taking longer than anticipated and was very dramatic and mythic and all this, you know, that I'm not going to get into, I noticed that my energy was invested in something really far away, both far away geographically and far away in time. And so just as kind of a mental experiment, right, which could also be a Uranian like third house experience, I decided to try to relate to Portland and my life here. Like what if I projected or like kind of reclaimed that projection of the possibility and enthusiasm of Greece and just brought it down to earth to the now, to my local area. And sure enough, by the time the visa actually came through, I was almost unsure if I still wanted to go to Greece because I had fallen in love with my life in Portland. So radical sequence of events. Part of it was that I met some local astrologers here. I went to like a meetup. I also hosted like a gathering. And then after I hosted a gathering, people were inviting me to things. And suddenly I felt part of like a local astrology community. And there was also a time period kind of roughly around this time where I'd noticed everyone was talking about online dating and I was meeting couples who'd met on apps. I was very much not into online dating. I totally wrote it off. And then I was getting all these interesting perspectives about it that were making me think differently. And this was happening also roughly around the same time that I was bringing these like pertinent personal questions about my own sexuality to the Akashic records. And I was getting these somatic downloads. So essentially I was asking these questions because I really wanted to liberate myself from these patterns that have caused a lot of suffering in my life. It was like, what is sexual soul retrieval for me? Like, what is it to know myself, you know, as this being, not just as someone who's had peak experiences that have been enabled by some sex magician outside of myself, but like, what if that's me and I actually live from that place as a baseline? And so this was a really big question to ask. And inside of that imaginal trance space of the Akashic records, You know, when I say the prayer to enter the records, which if you aren't familiar with the Akashic records, it's a very Uranian kind of space. It's a place of higher mind, infinite information. It's kind of like the spiritual internet, right? Like if you Google search and you're like looking for resources or answers to your questions on the internet, the Akashic records is the spiritual version of that, where through prayer, you enter a space of infinite quantum information. And when I talk to the Akashic records, sometimes I'll specify in the prayer that I want to have an embodied experience in the Akashic records. And so I was having these, this was really new to me, but I would tune into the prayer, ask these questions, and then I would feel these profound waves of sexual energy move through my body and be like, what is going on? Like, I didn't even know this was possible from the records. So I was basically having these very mystical experiences and getting these visions about what it could be like if I actually claimed this part of myself, which this is all very Taurus, everyone, because it's like ownership. Taurus is about knowing who we are and kind of owning who we are. Scorpio is the opposite experience, where we see that someone else has codes or something that we don't have, and we want to bond and merge with them or exchange with them in some way. And so there's a quality, though, of Scorpio that sometimes we see latent parts of ourselves in the other. And it's like, of course, there's an experience that's different that we get to have when we find a partner, find someone to connect with within intimacy. But the way I was relating to intimacy, there was so much disempowerment and fear of abandonment and feeling of like, I don't get to have it. I can't have it. It doesn't work out for me. And so that's why I really wanted to have more ownership of this part of me. And it's interesting, like I just had a lot of complexes about it. Like I had a fear of ending up somehow in some mediocre connection, like I'd just be doomed to like some like lackluster love and sex life for my whole life, and like I don't get to have any better than that because I'm not hot enough or good enough or pretty enough or enough. Like there's just this sense of like a scarcity inside of like I don't get to have it. And yeah, again, something I was trying to work out the knot of. And so within that context of like opening to possibility, wanting to transform this deep storyline inside of me, I had this time where I don't even know what it was about, but I was just feeling this edge of like frustration. And I had this intuition that I needed to set up some appointments with local healers, not like remote people I know online. It's like, who's in Portland, third house, who's here? Who on Google has a bunch of 5-star reviews? Like, who's excellent? And I went for it and had really cool experiences. But one of these led me to a sound healer, and you know, like a shamanic sound healer. And when I sat with him to meet him for the first time, he asked me how I was doing. And to my surprise, I immediately choked up in tears, which I didn't realize all that emotion was right underneath the surface. And I think that it was actually also connected to the field that he was holding. I do have this experience sometimes with healers or counselors or guides of some kind where they're living in a field of a certain depth and attunement that you feel it immediately, right? So that's kind of what I experienced. And I told him that I was putting a grief process of mine on hold, because I couldn't figure it out. Like it felt never ending. It was a pattern that I've lived through my entire life, and I just couldn't understand it. And because it was so deep, this was not all that I was, I kept it really simple with him, but just elaborating here, it was like the pain of it was so immense and so overwhelming that it was just kind of something I was putting in a box so that I could live my life, you know? And so when he asked me how I was doing, it's like all that kind of came up. And then in the sound healing session, this thing happened that I'd never really experienced before in receiving a session of some kind, which was that a distinct masculine spirit almost like a plant medicine, visited me and gave me a whole teaching. Okay, so again, like very third house, like the third house relates to ceremony and also like short distance travel. And so you can go to another country, you can go international in the ninth house. But just that I went to this healer's like studio and then suddenly ended up having a altered state is a third house type of travel, like a mystical trip. But this spirit that visited me showed me, I'm sorry, I'm just laughing because when I think about my life and how events happen, the concrete events of my life are always interspersed with dreams, visions, They are like key to me. They're really important. But this spirit in the sound healing session showed me my energetics and relationship. My energetics and relationship to desire and to men. And the spirit was essentially like, look, you have a lot of desire and you don't fully hold it. You hand it over to the other person to hold for you. Right? And I'm kind of seeing this energetic of like, it's too much for me to hold. I spill it over. And then he drops it because you're making him babysit it and caretake you. You're creating the invitation to be caretaked. You need to hold it, your desire, and extend it more like an offering or an invitation to be met inside of. There's nothing wrong with your desire. You just have to hold it. And then the spirit assures me, men will be more than happy to give you what you want. Then I was shown a dating profile. The whole bio was shown to me. And I made it when I got home. You know, and at the risk of even sharing too much, but again, I've already set the precedent for this with Hungry Ghosts of Paradise. The bio was essentially brief, just about the kind of sex I wanted and what it meant to me. I've learned about myself that physical and sexual connection is absolutely primary for me when it comes to forming a romantic connection, serious or casual, that I'm not like a demisexual, or I forget what the term is, where it's like you want to get to know the person or like have a good conversation. Like for me, it's really like Moon and Taurus thing of like, do we have physical chemistry? That is primary, that is needed. If it's not there, it's a no-go. And that's something that I had to like learn about myself and really accept, because I would almost like dance around it or feel like, oh, but we have a good connection or we get along, and then like feel lightly traumatized by like the misattuned physical connection. It's like, what if I just accept that this is a standard, this is something I need? But what I said in the bio was essentially, and I'm only sharing this because when I was telling my friends about it, people were like, whoa, like maybe I'm going to take some notes here and like change my bio and whatnot. But I said, I am craving, or I'm seeking, I forget what I said, slow, sensual, dropped in, connected, caring sex. I am highly sensitive, and this type of sex is deeply transportive to me. And so just being that direct about it was the vision that I got in the sound healing from that spirit that gave me a talking to. And I realized like, well, yeah, just naming it like that. I'm not trying to like hint at it or go around sideways. It's like, this is what I'm looking for. I'm just holding that. Definitely got a lot of attention from that particular bio, and sorted through what felt resonant or didn't feel resonant. But I met one person in particular from the app who, every time we interacted, I felt his words resonate in my pussy, my whole body, and I was pretty sure it was going to be amazing. I could just feel intuitively and psychically, and it has been. So I met someone essentially from this sequence of events, the visions, the sound healing, etc., whose ascendant ruler is conjunct my moon, who I'm talking about with this transit, receiving the Jupiter-Uranus transit. But the moon's also the ruler of my fifth house. So we have great synastry overall, but the ascendant ruler, fifth house ruler synastry is good. And we have other, I already said this, we have great synastry. But it's been an incredibly sweet, hot, deep, secure connection with honesty and no games, and feels like a literal answer to my prayers. And this was during a time when this was happening. I was resting a lot. I was sleeping like 9 to 11 hours a day, going into the Akashic records. And I really was aware that I was prioritizing this sexual soul retrieval question. I was like, this is really important. Like, I could feel my mind being like, should I be thinking about something else, like my work? And there was just kind of a clarity of like, no, this is primary. Like, we need to look at this and be here. So then I began to be nourished in a way that I always crave, right? I had also asked a friend of mine who has no problem having good sex. Whereas like for me, I've had issues in the past where I meet someone and like they touch me in a way that I don't like, and I'm like victimized by that and feel like this trauma of like, I'll never have it. Like, no one can touch me the way I like, and just spiral out, versus my friend who can like hold the energy and then create these like tantric loops with people. And I asked her, like, how do you have the kind of sex that you want, like, so easily? And she looked at me like very serious and she said, I am the embodiment of my sexuality. What, like, people match that. People mirror me. Why would I not have the kind of sex I want? And so that blew my mind. But I realized that even just making this bio and deciding and like really feeling into the frequency of my own sex and creating the invitation from that place, as opposed to being inauthentic, like acting differently, signaling a different kind of sexual energy, like actually just sitting in the vulnerability and the sensation of being the embodiment of my sex. Like, that's what I felt I was learning. So inside of this new experience, I'm beginning to be nourished in a way that I've always craved, whether or not I consistently have, you know, quote, had it. And I kept listening to that vision or that teaching from that spirit that visited me about holding my desire, because anytime I felt the immense emotional wave of vulnerability, it would come with like this pattern inside of me that I don't think is unique to me. A lot of people have this, but inside of all that sensation and vulnerability, this impulse to try to grip onto it or control the situation, to make sure he felt the same way, to like, what are we doing? What are we? Like, all that kind of stuff when we were first getting to know each other. And instead of trying to manage that, it's like I just held it, held the sensation of how much I was enjoying myself and how much I was still desiring it. And instead of being put out of range by that desire, that like feeling that, to just hold it and let it melt me. And then when I started to hold it and like let it actually move through my body instead of gripping or doing something like compulsive with it, it started to like melt my face off. Like, I was having these internal rearrangements, these different ego deaths. It was interesting. Like, I wish I could even really fully convey it, but it was things like that I'd been holding on to for years or even my whole life were starting to like disintegrate before my eyes because they were getting washed with this kind of life force energy, and they had to rearrange. So letting the raw energy of my desire and my desire fulfilled actually move through my body and consciousness and let it shape me instead of trying to control it out of the fear of losing it or needing to keep it, that started to rearrange me. And so I was sitting in that field. I'd been in a time period of sleeping a bunch, like just having these gorgeous, like at least 9 hour sleeps a day, living my like soft life era. And then I got satiated. I had enough rest. I wasn't even trying to get there. It just kind of happened one day where I was like, wow, I'm satisfied. And I decided it was time to do more again, or more specifically, create more. So another part of the fifth house, which is the place that my moon rules, and the moon is the one receiving that Jupiter-Uranus quantum transit. So what I realized was that I had had this cap on my creativity. My moon in Taurus is my L5, the lord of my fifth. Moon in Taurus is very abundant, right? So like my fifth house ruler, my creativity is abundant as fuck. And, you know, there's moments that I've had in the past where I was, you know, I create, like if I don't put boundaries on it in terms of my needs to like eat and sleep and whatnot, I can just keep creating. And I've definitely had these different struggles of like balancing that in my life. And I remember telling a coach one time in a state of just like self-sarcastic victimization about it all, I was like, I feel like a cow that is always being milked. Like I am always lactating. And that feeling of just, I'm tired of producing so much. And like, I can't help it. I'm like, it's just the state that I'm always in. Because of that, essentially, and having all these creative ideas or things I wanted to do, I wasn't acting on all of it because I just didn't fucking feel like it. I didn't want to spend the energy. I wanted to rest. I wanted to just like not, you know, and I needed that rest. But I was starting to realize that I'd absorbed these teachings about like not overproducing, like not focusing on productivity, like rest is good, like all of these kind of teachings. And I was like, this is not relevant to me anymore. Like it is time to be productive again. And that doesn't mean I'm going to extract from myself or whatever, but I need to produce. So I turned up my creative production, and then I realized that with my routines and my life as it was, creating more was stressful and depressing, and I needed to change my life. I needed to have more fun. So in addition to the fun that I was already having with this man, I ended up learning dance, starting to learn dance, going to classes and dance socials, mostly Zouk and Bachata, and generally making more fun for myself and creating in that way, not just making things like creative or astrology things. Dance was pretty significant for me also because dance classes have historically been a really difficult location for me. I've had a really hard time keeping up. I feel like inept, like an idiot. Like I have like meltdowns internally from dance. Like it was not a place that I've always felt resourced to approach, but I've always wanted to be a dancer. Like it's kind of like a thing that I don't think I'm good at naturally, but I really want to be good at, versus something like writing. I've never felt inept as a writer. Like it's always come easy to me. And so dance was something that when I go to dance classes, it's like a lot on my nervous system almost, where I'm like growing my capacity. But also dance socials, like actually like losing myself in it in partner dance and having all these different conversations with different bodies, different people. It's like a lot. I would have some nights going out dancing where I felt like my body was like thrumming with aliveness. And I was like, this is more energy than I'm used to having in my body. This is amazing. And dance is very Venus, very Taurus, by the way. So then I fed myself all these ways, starting with the sexual question, the rest that I needed, the creativity that I wanted to do, having fun. And as that was happening, again, so think quantum, like Jupiter expands, 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 and this like quantum Jupiter-Uranus thing, I started to notice that I was cleaning my apartment at 10, 11 p.m. at night. I do have a house cleaner who comes once a week. I love her, and that's been necessary and wonderful. But I'm messy as fuck. I hate cleaning, honestly. And every time, like habitually, like I could be like make myself breakfast. I don't exactly want to clean up after myself after breakfast. Like my energy starts to think ahead into something I want to write or create. And my dream would be to have someone help me clean all the time so that I could just make stuff all the time. And that's not a desire that I've always really stood behind. I've been easily almost like shamed or judged there. Or just have thought like, oh, that's not possible. Like, I'm not going to be that kind of person, etc. or whatever. But here I am feeling fed in all these ways, my life expanding, growing in all these ways. And I'm using all this creative energy from dance or from my own happiness to sustain late night chores, to-do list stuff and cleaning. It was feeling a little bit draining. And so I did a time and attention tracking exercise as part of a class that I'm in. And I realized that I felt immensely contracted around cleaning. Like, you know, I was noticing what I was doing at any point in the day and how I was feeling around what I was doing. And anytime I was cleaning, I was like resisting it, hating it. I feel inefficient at it. I've started joking that I'm neurodivergent at it. I'm like Mercury in Pisces, really good at poetry and mysticism. But cleaning, I just feel like overwhelmed and lost at sea, and like I hate it. Every now and then I can like get into house witchery and feeling like magical and stuff, but I don't like it. And I have internalized an obligation that I need to do everything myself to be good. And that hiring domestic help makes me bad somehow in the eyes of other people. And as I've said, I have had people judge this part of me, and I wasn't fully holding my desire of like, I want to be a creative and have help. I felt like I wasn't allowed to go there yet, that I can't make that type of investment until I've earned it somehow, even more than my current level. So it occurred to me actually that my creations, because this, I had a vision about getting more help around the house. It wasn't just an idea, it was like a vision inside of an embodied ritual. And it occurred to me that the creations that want to come through me want space. And I actually have to make that space in this exact way to liberate all the energy that I spend and feel drained and like chaotic inside of my inept cleaning skills and the way that I more easily make messes in my apartment than I clean them. You know, and I'm great at untangling psychic knots. I'm like good at my job. Like, I feel like I'm still like arguing to myself, like why it's okay, like to want this or whatever. But it occurred to me, this is what my creativity wants. Like, I want help. So I started to let go of that resistance. I told my, the woman who cleans my house about it. And she was like, yeah, like I can come twice a week. And she was saying, she's like, you know, she's not the first person who said this to me too, but she's like, it's normal in other countries to like have help. If you have extra cash, like you hire people with it. And yeah, so we were talking about that, having a cool conversation. She's making my apartment beautiful. I'm like taking apart like a lion's mane mushroom by hand to like make tacos. And I'm seeing like blue lights on the lion's mane mushrooms as she and I are talking about like abundance and prosperity consciousness. She's really cool. She like has a whole company and she has people clean her house and like manage her life. And like, it was a really cool conversation. But I was like, what if I let myself actually like this and be turned on by this, like to grow into the responsibility of hiring or managing projects? Because that was another thing where it's like the part of me that's like, I don't feel like creating was like, I don't feel like being a boss. Like, I don't want to manage people. I just want to like have a simple life. But I do already hire people for work, for like the astrology side of things. And now I have more personal help and I'm more open to that. This felt like another quantum leap where it's like, there's things I'm wanting to create in my life or a person that I'm wanting to become, and it's starting to look more like a network than me doing everything by myself. All of this actually frees my time up for creating more, writing more, offering more, and replenishing my well to do that. And what's really interesting here is that delegation is something that I could have read about in a business book, and I have so many times. I've never approached delegation from a mental perspective because I didn't want to create the structure like that first. Because earlier on, as I was sharing, like, I had to get myself to even want to create more, because there was a part of me that was like, it's inconvenient how creative I am. Like, I may as well just not. I felt the same way about delegating, where it's like, ugh, like I have to like explain to people what I want. I'd rather just do it myself. Like, fuck it. You know? So like that part of me is having to actually just take responsibility. But what's interesting about all of this too to me is that I found delegation of work through my body by following the erotic current in me that wanted creation, romance, play, like deep nourishment. I was feeding it until it got bigger, it got too big for my container, and then I expanded the container. And I think this energetic I'm speaking to is not just influencing me in this specific way, but it's a transit, the Jupiter, Uranus, and Taurus conjunction. It promises quantum leaps and advancements, but first we have to feed ourselves, I think, in the places that we think, why bother? That's too much effort. I'd rather do nothing. I'd rather keep it chill and stay the same. So for all of this, it wasn't just about doing more. It was more so about having an appetite, feeling the hunger and the desire, nourishing those things, and letting the plant of myself, my life, grow to a bigger size and like actually outgrow its pot and like be repotted. I internalized that as something wrong, like earth-destroying corporations, when the reality is that I'm serving more, living more, and circulating my resource. And I actually had a dream that I woke up from a few months back where I had this bizarre moment of felt clarity around something that I think we already know intellectually about life in the United States. You know, if you're here or if you have an idea of what it's like here, around how much we consume, like how we're fed these ideas of how much we need to look a certain way, you know, to look a certain way in order to be loved, really, to keep up with other people. And then how we pillage the earth for all of that artificial need, artificial advertised, cosmetic, superficial need. Not at all against beauty and adornment in any way, but I'm talking about this manufactured desire that's like a cultural spell. And then how we act on that. And I woke up with this like, wow, like it's artificial how much we think we've been taught to need. So there's a difference though between gorging on the appetites of a hungry ghost of addiction versus hearing the true call within for creativity, like a true embodied creativity and growing from there. I was preemptively judging my growth by projecting onto it that it was too much or that it was somehow wrong. But what if it's just flourishing and blossoming? It's actually a jump to outgrow the shell husk. There's, you know, this is what breakthrough is. This is what I always say about breakthrough, which is a Uranus thing, is that there's something to break through. There's the edge of a paradigm. And with Taurus, the paradigm is fucking physical. It's the nervous system. It's the body. It's our comfort zone. And creativity has been a huge theme of it for me because I'm receiving the transit to my moon, which is the ruler of my fifth house. And creativity asks us to become, not to stay the same. So when I look back on all this and see how I fed my sex, then I fed my creativity, then I fed my fun, then I had so much extra and abundance that I let myself hire more help, and I'm starting to feel in my body what it would look like to up-level my creativity and my business by having more capacity to create. I'm overflowing with creative desire as opposed to not feeling like it. And I have more willingness now to become the person that my creativity is spurring me to become. I learned during this that I'm generally willing to invest in myself and my creativity, and that there were some spots that I wasn't willing and didn't realize it. There's an essential intelligence around Moon and Taurus, I feel, that this placement, you know, and this is something I have, but I also like to encourage in other people, is nourishing our actual needs. Like, I think Moon and Taurus generally feels good about having, like, I don't have a lot of shame around, like, having what I need or what I want. But I do in certain spots, right? But you need nourishment and food, literally, metaphorically, to make a plant grow, sprout, blossom. I end up having intuition, which is a moon kind of thing, about what I need. And generally, as I said, not that much shame about letting myself have it, though I do have my spots as well as places that took time to learn how to nourish. But I think this is part of the self-love part of Taurus that's really important, is that we have spots of scarcity where we don't think we deserve something. And there may be something that's actually really true and relevant for us at a soul level and as like a as an organic being. Like if we think of ourselves as a plant, where it's like it's relevant, not evil, for a plant to need water and sunlight, right? And so what is the equivalent if you think of yourself on like a spiritual personal journey where it's like, you know, you maybe don't need like Mountain Dew to water the plant. Like that might not be the thing, even if you feel like the Mountain Dew, but you need water and sunlight. And like, what are those actual nutrients, metaphorically speaking? And I'm noticing collectively that the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus, there's some stagnation and quantum leaps on the other side of stagnation when it comes to understanding nourishment. We all have decisions to make about where we spend versus invest our energy. And when I wasn't creating as much as I meant to, as much as I'm really capable of, I was spending more time taking too many baths and like laying around, essentially, not even in the most pleasurable way, but in a collapsed way. I'd rather be creating and then intentionally out by the ocean or really enjoying a bath than collapsing into comforts to soothe myself. And we all may have our versions of this right now, of like that difference between comfort versus nourishment, which is not just a Moon and Taurus thing that I really feel personally, but a Taurus thing, nourishment. I also, when I look back at the sequence of events, think about how incredible it is that everything built upon itself. Taurus is gentle and powerful, and when we nourish ourselves well, we make space for life to happen. And if you think about Jupiter facilitating growth, and like Jupiter Uranus is kind of like accelerated or quantum growth, Jupiter expands and grows upon itself in kind of like a intuitive order. And I think with Taurus, the key is the actual nutrients that we let ourselves have, and how there's not necessarily a lot of bypassing or skipping ahead. That Taurus is very pragmatic, very down to the earth. So it's like, what do you need first? Then when you're satiated, what do you need next? And like, that's how the story progresses with Jupiter and Taurus. Also, by the way, I am still moving to Greece. I'm about to enter a whole new third house local life. A main reason the move was inspired is because my body loves Greece. I feel ecstatic on that land. I love the ocean and the air and the food, and I'm just called. I did delay my trip, however, because I was just having too good of a time here. So if you are interested in going deeper with astrology and cultivating your own astrological literacy, I teach in the evolutionary astrology lineage, and I'm opening my intensive again. We begin April 2nd, and applications are due by March 29th. On the note of investment here, as we've been talking about, this course is truly an investment in a deeper and richer and more magical life. It's an intimate community experience. You have opportunities to share your processes, findings, and be reflected and adjusted. This community experience, the class transmissions, this all supports the cultivation of your astrology practice. And here, you know, in evolutionary astrology, people are drawn to it sometimes whether or not they really know what EA is yet, but they feel the depth approach, and like that's what we're going for. It's like a deep soul-centered approach, right? Not just about your personality, right, or the conditions of your life, but the deeper why you as a soul, spiritual being, chose these experiences as the alchemical training ground for whatever your deeper narrative is, that your life is the training ground or the alchemical space for. A lot of my students come in knowing bits and pieces and learn through this class how to put it all together, meaning maybe you know about the signs and the planets, but you're not sure how to read a chart as a whole. More advanced students who come to this class learn a depth, laser-like perspective of Pluto and a new way to read charts from the perspective of the soul's ongoing life-to-life evolution. Everyone learns that, but if you're already more advanced, like, you'll still have a really deep experience. My advanced students have been some of the most pleased with this class, though it's also brought so many people in from a place of curiosity or just kind of having the parts to a deeper, more comprehensive feeling of intuitive rootedness in their practice. You can start a discussion with me by applying, and we'll get on a call to discuss the class and your desire to join. You will find this is not only an excellent class in of itself that has a long track record of blowing students away with its depth and its portal-like quality into a whole new animated and magical world, and the honing of a lens that lets us see the world, ourselves, and others more intricately. But it's a class where you have the opportunity to really intimately participate, to learn astrology both through the captivating transmissions offered within it and in the dialogues, the very personal, emergent dialogues that we have. Follow the link in the notes to read more about the course on the course page and to apply. We begin April 2nd. Applications are due by March 29th, and I would love to travel with you.